this guy. Satan likes to pick on the pastors.
Yeah, he did. They just diagnosed me with diabetes this week, so I got, I'm on Metamorphin now. So that's a brand new one for me. Daryl?
You put all of our kids on there.
Yeah.
And put me on there. I've been having a tough time accepting my kids are getting older, and I'm just, it's messing me up.
Yeah.
It is. It's messing me up, and I'm, they're changing, so I got to know how to roll with those changes. And it's been a little tough for me.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Linda?
Pray for Israel and our president and our government leaders and our church and the Christian church worldwide.
Okay.
And Bill over here with his many issues.
Okay. Anything else? Mary?
Laura, she has cancer. And a lady we know, her name is Mary as well. They haven't been able to figure out what's wrong with her.
Somebody in the back have their hand. Dana?
Yeah, put Yannick Sr. on there. He's in hospice care now. And I have a couple unspoken. And also my neighbor, Kathy, her aunt. And my aunt. Put Aunt Marlene on there.
Your neighbor, Kathy, did you say?
Kathy. Yeah, the one that was taking care of her mom and her aunt.
Okay.
Her mom passed, but she's still taking care of her aunt. She's not young either. She's 67.
You're not young anymore.
That's young.
Okay. I, hey, Taya?
Can we pray for all the conspiracy theorists?
Yeah.
And the people who just are so desperate to just believe in something and that they find God.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Carol?
Yeah, put Arthur on there because they said there's not nothing they can do for him anymore. They can't take that tumor out because they said he's got too many incisions in his neck. He would die on the operating table. Said he would have a stroke. So they're going to put a catheter up to the vein in his leg and go up and cut the blood off to the tumor. See
wow.
If that'll work. But it's big as your fist on his neck.
Oh man. Okay. All right. Okay, let's just bow our heads and lift our requests up to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with these following requests. Be with Joyce Sass in the nursing home and what she's going through. Be with Justin and Christy and their family issues. Be with Pastor Dan and Carol and Arthur and the tumor he's got and Jim and all the rest of their children. Be with Pam Smith's husband who has cancer. Please continue to be with Diane's healing and recovery with her leg. Be with Dolly's continued healing and recovery and her test on Tuesday. Be with Bill Holloway Sr. and Linda and Gary Wickman and Jay Fenstermaker. Be with Dolly's neighbor's granddaughter's appendix and that surgery and the healing. Be with Dominic and the brain bleeds and be with Emily's baby. Be with Patrick's test coming up on Wednesday. Be with Mary Lang and her friend Mary. Be with Katie and her family and Daryl and the changes he's going through in parenting. Be with Laura and her cancer and Yadik Sr., who's now in hospice care. And be with Dana's neighbor, Kathy, and Aunt Marlene. And be with the Hindu that received the gospel this week, that, Lord, he just he understands it and believes it. Be with all the conspiracy theorists who spend more of their time on conspiracies than on Jesus, and get them saved. Be with all of our little children. Protect them, keep them safe. Be with our president, our government leaders, our military, at home and abroad, active and inactive. Be with the nation of Israel, our little church here and the worldwide church of believers around the world. Protect them, Lord. And be with the graveside service this afternoon for Kim's parents. That goes well. And be with the clear and simple gospel message that will again be given this afternoon. Be with all of our unspoken requests, and we thank you, Lord, for the request for me and my family. And we just thank you, Jesus, for your love, your grace, and your mercy on each one here. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay. So today I'd like to revisit, I did this 3 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long already. It seems like yesterday. But we talked about the understanding the two natures. The old nature that you were born with, which I will use my left arm to represent, and the new nature which you have from God the minute you put your faith in Christ, and help you to understand that you're not alone when it comes to the struggle you face inside you. And so let's begin. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 7 real quick. And I know verse 23 was where I wanted to start, but I'm going to back up to verse 15 real quick. So Romans 7:15, this is the strife of the two natures that you have, every believer has living with inside them. Paul says, "For that which I do, I understand not." In other words, these are things he's doing. He doesn't understand them. He doesn't know why he's doing them. So he says, "For that which I do, I understand not. For what I would, that do I not." You know, in other words, he's saying, that which I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, that I do. So he's doing things he doesn't want to do, and he's trying to explain it to us that these are things I don't want to do, but I'm doing them. He's so you're kind of understanding that Paul's dealing with this himself. Verse 16, he says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." In other words, he understands that sin is inside him, and he can't help it. It's an old sinful nature. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So in other words, he's saying, there's evil that I don't want to do, but I find myself doing it, and I'm kind of upset about it. Verse 20, Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In other words, he wants to do good, but there's evil in there, kind of preventing them from doing good, right? So for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then, with the law, with the mind, I serve myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And that's fantastic that he put that in the Bible. It's fantastic for every Christian to know that don't get so down on yourself if you find yourself, you know, having unpure thoughts, evil thoughts, or sinful deeds. It's just a part of you that you can't escape. You are never going to be perfect while you're here on this earth living in this body. It's impossible. If you could be perfect, who would you have to be? You'd have to be God, right? And you're not. And neither am I. So, understanding the two natures. There are problems that you and I face as Christians with understanding our problems. Whether they come disguised as temptations or trials or other various kinds of problems, whether it's marital or with the children, jobs, finances, health. there are many battles that we have to face because the devil is out for one thing, and that's to get you and I to not serve. Serve how? To serve the Lord, to witness, to do what God would have you to do. So if you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ as your Savior and you are not serving God, then it's because you're presently losing the battle. See, you can serve God all the days of your life. You don't have to quit and you don't have to lose. But lo and behold, there's a lot of God's people that do not have Christian victory in their Christian life. I'm glad that I do not have to win any of these battles in order to get to heaven. I go to heaven because Jesus Christ went to the cross and won a victory there for me. He paid for all my sins. I trust in His sacrifice for me. I have eternal life. Well, once I got saved, why didn't God just take me home so I wouldn't have to deal with this big, giant, sinful mess of a world? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Just turn to your right, a couple books in your Bible. In order to find that answer, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. There are people that are not wise. They do not understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we're not talking about how to get to heaven here. We're talking about you, as a child of God, understanding the will of God. To understand the will of God, what He wants, you have to understand the Word of God. And when you understand the Word of God, you'll understand the way of God and the work of God so that you and I will know what it is that you and I are supposed to be doing in this remaining little time frame here on this earth called life. And so the question is, what am I doing here? What's the purpose of all this? What's the goal of life? I believe we just read, All right, so verse 17, Ephesians 5, 17. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. in Genesis chapter 5, I can turn to, I guess you don't have to turn there very quickly if you don't want to, but if you want to, you can. In Genesis chapter 5, you'll notice one thing. These are the generations of Adam. In verse 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 5, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11, and all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Verse 14, and all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. Verse 17, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 20, Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch were 365 years and he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch was raptured. It's one of the only cases in the Bible, aside from Elijah, that was raptured. Methuselah, the oldest person in the Bible, verse 27. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. So what do you notice about this verse? Regardless of how long they live, what was the conclusion of all of it? They all what? They all died. You see, because when we're born into this world, we're all children of the flesh. And because we all sin, we all die. If none of us sinned, none of us would ever die. So we're not here forever. We are born into this world, and we are to understand we are going to die. We are not going to stay here forever. So the goal of our life is not to see how much can I accumulate while I'm here. That's not the purpose of life. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, back to Romans chapter 3. If you were still in Ephesians, it's just back to the left a little bit. Right after the book of Acts. And take a look at verse 10. Romans in chapter 3, I think I read it, have it written up here. As it is written, there is how many righteous?
None.
He says none righteous. No, not even one. I'm glad he put that in there because there's a lot of people that believe that some of these people in the Bible were righteous. That's like Abraham or Mary or, you know, man and their sinfulness. In a lot of other churches, they like to point the finger to another person on earth. They'll point it to anybody except for Jesus Christ. And that's just because they don't get it. But he says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's pretty good news. That puts everybody on the same exact level playing field. Look down to verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Who said that? God did. Look back up into verse 4. He says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a what?
Liar.
A liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So he says, let God be true, and every man a liar. Every person sitting in here is a liar. Who said so? God did. Every man a liar. God said, in the Ten Commandments, he says, right there, there's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not lie. I lied. There was nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. What was wrong with them is that I could not keep them. So the Ten Commandments, when I look at it, I'm not looking at it to try and keep it. I'm looking at it as a mirror. There it is. It says, thou shalt not lie. I lied. So it convicts me of my sin. And it should convict every single person who's ever lived, because if you can show me one person on the planet that's never sinned, I could show you God in the flesh. You know. But so, God says there's none righteous, no, not one. Look down to verse 23. Romans 3:23. He says, for how many have sinned? That word right there. God is the master. I always say this. I love it. God is the master of the economy of words. He can say everything that needs to be said in very few words. And he says, for all have sinned. He didn't say just some. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, this is my flesh birth. This arm, this left arm would represent my flesh birth. This is what I was born with. It's sinful. Now turn six chapters over to your right. Turn to Romans chapter 9, if you will.
Good.
Pastor Dan was in Romans 8 a few weeks ago. All right. Take a look at verse 8. Notice what he says in verse 8. Romans 9:8. He says, that is, they who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. What seed is he talking about? He's talking about the seed that he promised Abraham. He said, in Abraham, thy seed will be blessed. And back in Genesis 17. So, but we are not all, there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, we're all children of God.
Nope.
No, we're not. We're not born children of God. So, who says so? God does, right there. He says, they who are the children of the flesh, these are the children of the flesh. You're born this flesh birth. It isn't until later on when you put your faith in Christ that you receive this spiritual birth that we'll talk about in a minute. That is, they which are the children of, these are not the children of God. All right, so you may come across this if you haven't already. Someone may say to you, we're all children of God. I explained to them, no, we're not all children of God. And point to where God says, only those who have put their faith in Christ, those are the children of God. But when you are born into the world, you are not. We are all children of God, aren't we? Well, what does he say here in John 8:41? 44 and 47. He says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus turns around and says to him, ye are of your father, the
devil,
right? So why wasn't that guy, why wasn't he a child of God? He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So, Jesus was talking about that guy, and...
Isn't that one of the Pharisees?
Yeah. Yep. That's one of the self-righteous Pharisees. So, yeah, but in John 1, verse 12 and 13, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on him, his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, right? So, this is the will of the flesh. I was born of the will of the flesh. Two people got together and gave me this flesh birth. This represents my flesh birth. So, he says, but as many as have received him, how do I receive him? The only way to receive him is to receive his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, he says, you will receive the Holy Spirit the minute you put your faith in Christ. This hand, this arm would represent a spiritual birth. This I received by faith when I put my faith in Christ. That is how I received him. Once I did, I became a son of God at that moment. I hope that makes sense to you.
Yes.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 will tell us a little bit about ourselves and why we do the things that we do. Just turn to your right in the Bible a little bit. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians 2, verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of what?
Wrath.
Oh, wrath. Even as others. It is our nature to be children of wrath. Who said so? God just did. That was what he says about us. And that's what we do. We want to fulfill the lust of our flesh. Right? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Every little child born into the world is born with a sinful nature. You don't have to teach people to commit sin. It comes naturally. It just happens all on its own. Nobody has to be taught to be deceptive, to lie, to steal. Everybody can do it on their own. It's a nature that we have. God says that we were all born with a sinful nature. Turn back three chapters, back to Romans chapter 6, if you will, and look at verse 23. It's a memory verse. Most of you have heard me say it time and again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Because we've sinned, we have to die. But there's a gift that God has. It's called eternal life, and it comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is the flesh birth. We are all children of the flesh. We all do that which is wrong. Who says so? God did. Well, somebody says, well, now that I... how is it that I can inherit eternal life? Let's turn one book to your right, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You could go here if you ever wanted to give the gospel to somebody. It's a great place to start. 1 Corinthians, we here at Christian Bible Church delight in using the Bible, because I can stand up here and say anything I want, but it had better be backed up with what the Bible says, and shown what the Bible teaches. A lot of churches don't even use a Bible. They don't encourage you to bring a Bible, but we recommend you do. And in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians, it says, chapter 15, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, that's this, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. neither doth corruption, because it's corrupt, inherit incorruption. That's incorruption. Heaven is incorrupt. Heaven has not been corrupted by flesh, by anything that's sinful or maketh a lie. Nothing that is sinful can get to heaven. Corruption, that's me, this flesh body, cannot inherit incorruption. Why? Because it's corrupt. You're living inside this body that's corrupt by nature. God never promised this first birth anything eternal except a place in a literal fire burning hell if you died without accepting Christ. I want you to understand that when the Bible says all of this about the first birth, how are you supposed to get out of this mess that you're in? That is why you need a new birth. Now this is, what if you could be born a second time? What if you could be born a second time, but what if it would be without a sinful nature? Wouldn't that be the key? This first birth has a sinful nature attached to it. This one is spiritual and does not. It comes from God. This comes from me. You could do everything right if you could only be born without a sinful nature. Well, the second birth is exactly that. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I became a child of God. Now, my right arm represents my second birth. That is my spiritual birth. And in John 3:6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. They are separate from one another. If you remember back when we started in Genesis, it said, this is the record of the generations of Adam. Now, in Matthew 1, it says, the first book of the New Testament, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In Genesis, it says they all died. In Matthew, there's no deaths recorded there like there were in Genesis. When you and I were born into this world, our names were written in the book of life. Every person who has ever been born had, at birth, their name written into the book of life. Now, if they failed to trust Christ as their Savior, by the time they died, their names were blotted out of the book of life. But everyone's names were recorded in the book at one point. And we could take the time to prove that, but time's limited this morning, and maybe next week we'll look at the Lamb's Book of Life. But the key is, you have to be born again a second time. This is brought out in John 3:16. John 3:16 is the answer to Nicodemus' question on how could a man be born again a second time when he's old? How can he be born from his mother's womb a second time? He did not understand it. And Jesus says, aren't you a ruler in Israel and you don't understand these things? Well, evidently not. And there's a lot of religious people. You know, Nicodemus was religious, right? He was a prominent person and a religious, very religious, and he didn't get it. So evidently there's a lot of religious people that do not understand this. So let's turn to the right a few books just a couple books to the right, three books to the right, I think, yeah, Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and why do you do that? Look up here. We all have sin because sin is the result of a sinful nature. This wallet doesn't make us a sinner. Being a sinner is why we produced this sin. It wasn't that, like, you know, I walked around and sin got on me and it attached to me like a cancer. I produce this because I am a sinner. Being a sinner is why we produce this. There are bad things we do for the simple reason that we're born with a sinful nature that is rebellious against God. It is extremely difficult to be perfect as God is every single day. Since every man is sin, every man must die. And so it's important, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27 says. But the judgment isn't to determine where I'm going, the judgment is to determine the punishment the lost man gets when he gets there. And 2 Peter 2:9 says, God's not willing that any should perish. A man does not save himself. You don't save yourself by promising God you're going to try harder. I don't care how hard you try, you'll never live good enough to get to heaven by your good deeds. So you need a Savior. That was the point of the Ten Commandments. It wasn't for you to keep. Christ came and kept it perfectly, therefore identifying him as the Savior. He's the only one that could keep it. So then if my right hand represents Christ, and he said that if we'll believe that he did that for us, the Bible says in Romans 4, 5, and 6, his righteousness is imputed to your account. It's as if, when you put your faith in him, he gives you his righteousness. It is imputed unto you. He takes your sins. So that's why I love the wallet illustration. A lot of people associate sin with the wallet. Like, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. God gives you enough to take care of yourself. But we don't worship it. We don't love it. But anyway, the wallet, I think, is a good representation of it. So, he takes my righteousness. When he did, he imputed his righteousness to me. So he gave me his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwelt me and sealed me the minute he took my sins. I believe he did it for me. He gave me his righteousness. If God gave you his righteousness, you would be as righteous as who? As righteous as God. You go to heaven on his righteousness, on his perfection, not yours. It takes you out of the equation. Why? Because you couldn't work your way there. You can't pray your way there. You can't earn your way there. No matter how good you could be, you can't be perfect. So the only reason anyone goes to heaven is because God gave them his perfection upon belief of the gospel. Because you have to be perfect to get to heaven. It's a perfect place. Our righteousness. I don't have any. You don't either. Isaiah says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And if you think about a filthy rag in an old clay wash pot in the house that everyone washed with, it's an awfully dirty thing. And Isaiah was trying to point out an illustration of just how righteous do you think you are? You know, it's as righteous as a filthy rag in an old clay wash pot in this mud hut that we live in. So when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are born into God's family. All right, Ephesians 4, verse 24. And he says, and ye put on the new man, that's this man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Why does he tell you to put it on? Because you don't. You know, you got to work toward it. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is from God. Its righteousness is perfect. Doesn't have any sin. Clothe yourself with it. This is yours, which is sinful, and he desires that you not serve it. Schofield's got a great note on it. If you've got a Schofield Bible, I'd suggest you go down. The new man he brings up is good, and I don't have time to get into it now, but in verse 424, he's got a good note on there. So the left arm is sinful. It dies. My right arm over here, which is born of God, can't sin. Therefore, it cannot die. So here you are living your life, and you have living within you two births. So I've got living within me these two natures living within me in one body. One day, I'm going to get the other body to go with this other birth. But right now, I'm sharing it with my first birth. If you can understand this, you can understand why you, as a Christian, you still have an old sinful nature. God didn't eradicate the old sinful nature. It's still there. You can still desire the things of the world, worldliness, the things that are wrong. Turn to 2 Peter. Turn right in your Bible. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter. So half a dozen books or so. 1 Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. Yep. James, 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. Do I have it written up here? I do. Whereby we are given, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's a fantastic verse. My left arm has an old sinful nature. My right arm has a divine nature. These two are opposites. My left arm can't do anything right. My right arm can't do anything wrong. My left arm sins. My right can't sin. My left arm's going to die. My right arm can't die. That's why Christ says, if a man believe in me, he shall never die. But if he die, yet shall he live. What's he talking about? He's talking about this part of me. That my soul and spirit, God's Holy Spirit takes my soul and spirit to heaven with him. That will never die. And one of these days, the body is going to die and be buried or cremated. And to be absent from the body is to be what?
Present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord. That's the second birth. 2 Peter 1, verse 8-10. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Fall from what? From the purpose God has for your life. The Holy Spirit guarantees we will have a resurrection. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8, he says, Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. John 6:47, a verse you all memorized, know very well. Verily, verily means truly, truly. Jesus is speaking these words. I should have had it outlined in red. But he says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And I love the word hath. It means has. It's the same word as has. It means right now. It's present tense. Now, which one has everlasting life? The one that is born of God. The new nature only, the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Do I still sin? Yes. This is what he's talking about. This is my new sinful, my new spiritual nature, which cannot sin. It doesn't commit sin. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him and cannot sin because he's born of God. That's this part of me. Whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin. This birth, my right arm, can't sin, can't die. Now that we understand that, the conflict that goes on in our life can be understood by having only one body and having two births living within it. And that's why you'll want to do what's right, and you'll also want to do what's wrong. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. It can really play games with your mind. You'll want to go to church and then you don't want to go to church. You'll want to read your Bible and then you don't want to read your Bible. You'll want to witness and then you won't want to witness. So how do you get to have victory in this Christian life? You have to starve the flesh. The new man doesn't get strong on movies and magazines and on the filth of the world. And to feed the new man, he gets fed and gets strong on the Word of God. And that's why he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may what? Grow by it. Yes. The war inside you, the stronger one, is the one who gets fed. That's the one who takes over. As that old Indian, you think of the proverb, you know, there's the Indian man's telling the little grandson, you know, there's the wolf and whichever the one you feed is the one that wins, yeah. So, God's will is for you to grow so that you may be used by God, right? He can use you. You got some information, you got some knowledge, he can use you. And he could use you in ways you never dreamed possible. I can't believe he's using me the way he is right now. So, I mean, if he could do it to me, he could do it to anybody. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Turn to Galatians 5, that's back to your left just a little bit. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I don't know why I just group all four of those together in my mind. I guess it's in between 1st and 2nd, Corinthians and Thessalonians. But in Galatians 5, verse 17, he says, "For the flesh lusteth," again, I guess I can use this, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I told you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." In Galatians 6:9, he says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Doing the right thing or being perfect 100% of the time is impossible. It's because sinning is natural. It feels more normal to sin sometimes. If it wasn't normal or didn't feel good, we wouldn't do it." He says, do not be weary in well-doing and doing the right thing. You'd be glad you did. In Galatians, keeping the lust of the flesh at bay. In Galatians 5:16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." What church would you walk into today and hear that message? If you are saved, you will not want to live badly, right? Wrong. Do you still get mad, angry, upset, and irritable? Sure you do. Why? That's your old sinful nature that you will have with you until the day you die. The reason the Holy Spirit lives inside you is to teach you what the Word of God says so you will obey it. Walking in the Spirit is nothing more than walking in obedience to the Word of God. If you don't live in obedience to the Word of God, you're rebellious. You are still His child and will still go to heaven when you die. But you're not going to have the blessings of God here, and you're not going to have the rewards when you get there, and you won't be pleasing God, and it could bring some shame and disgrace upon yourself, depending on the severity of it. The conflict of the Spirit with the old nature. In Romans 8, verses 5 through 9, he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is," what? Not his child, right? He's none of his. Because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, right? You're indwelt with a child, God's Holy Spirit, the minute you put your faith in Christ. You became his child. Romans 7, 15 through 20 says, "For that which I," well, we read this already in the beginning, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Paul's, you could see the struggle Paul's going with, and I'm glad he put this in there. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." God used this man to write 14 of the 27 New Testament books. And here he is telling you. In 1 Timothy, he says he is chief of all sinners. So, you know, so don't get down on yourself. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He's understanding and accepting, you know what, I'm stuck with